Thank you.
Number three, again, is from the comptroller, submitting an informational report regarding the 2012 third and fourth quarter professional service contracts. This is information unless otherwise directed.
Mr. Chair, apologize to the committee for not being here when my item was called. This is a report of professional service contracts for the third and fourth quarters. As I indicated at your previous meeting, that we would catch up with our reports at this meeting. What the third and fourth quarter indicates is these are the professional service contracts that were that we received in our office that were entered into during the third and fourth quarter. Now, some of these contracts, it's meaning when we received them in our office. They may have entered into them earlier, gotten all of the signatures, but they finally turned them in at that time because they were looking for payments to occur. And basically, how the report works is it's by department. So by the low orgs of the departments indicates who is the contract and the department and the vendor. If you see a plus sign next to a dollar amount, that means you'll see the current value of the contract, and the plus sign indicates the increase to that contract that is occurring during that quarter. We are making sure, so not only are these, some of these are the professional service, but some of them are, all of them are the professional service, but you'll see construction related work, so capital projects in here, and you'll see for all of the low orgs. One of the questions that was brought up in the previous quarter by the chair is the last two columns is the vendor DBE certified and community business development or partners notified before the award of the contract. Because there was notice in some of those where there was a difference in some of those codes from people that were known to be DBEs and then not DBEs. We held a meeting and we gave a listing of some of the previous quarters to the DBE office. We met with Nelson, and what he had done is he went through our report after we had already issued it to you, but he went through the report to indicate those where they were either notified or not notified, so and where there was some changes to the DBE certified. So in for purposes of all future reports, we've worked out with him where we will send him the report 2 weeks prior to us issuing it and getting it down to the committee. He will then, for those two columns, go through each of those items. He will indicate those that he believes are wrong in what we are saying. We'll make corrections to the report, or we'll meet with him regarding the report. And then, so when you see the report, you will know that the DBE office has looked at the final two columns and has noted that everything is correct in those columns and for those purposes. One of the other reasons meeting with him is to ensure that he has seen all of the contracts and seen all of the dollar amounts that are indicated here. We always copy him. This information here that you see in this report comes by means of a form that we get from the department. We make a copy of that form and always give it to his department so he has that available for them. They then look at those to make sure that they've been notified by the department. One of the other ways we verify that the DBE office has verified the report is the fact that there is a signature page, a signature required by the DBE office before we will approve it and process it. So in all cases, we make sure that there has been a signature by the DBE office. So in some case, he noted to us that, you know, he didn't think he had been informed of it. We went back to those contracts and found where they had signed off on it. But in the future, we're going to have a discussion. So we'll prepare the report a little bit earlier than normal. We'll send it to their office. They will review it, and then we'll make sure that those final two columns reflect what's actually there. So these reports, he's did that kind of after the fact, in the future, all of those will reflect the review by their office also.
I just have a very small question. I didn't get a chance to, you know, thoroughly review the audit on the paratransit, but I noted in here there's $10,000 to Foley and Lardner to review the paratransit RFP. Do you have any information on that? How that relates to this whole issue?
No, I don't.
And maybe Mr. Hare referred to it and gave some information on that. And you can defer to Mr. Hare when we get to the audit then.
Okay.
That's fine. You wear the hat?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, was curious about Foley and Lardner being in the paratransit section. That's on page 8 of 9. I had more general questions about their involvement. For instance, could we not use our corporate counsel for that? My main list. I'd like to know more about that. Also, on page 3, it's under the airport, I believe, Grace USA and Mead Hunt both have fee increases. And pardon me if this is something we'd already discussed, but I want to make sure that I want to find out, were these planned or expected increases, and are they acceptable as well? If you could get back to me on that, I'd be much obliged.
Yeah, I can follow up with the department supervisor and get back to you regarding those.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Not through Red Lipscomb.
Thank you. On the fourth quarter, get back to it. Page 6 and 7 of the fourth quarter report. I was trying to, I saw cases like this, but just using this as an example, the CPS parking, where you have what appear to be identical, appear to be identical services and nearly identical contracts, but I'm trying to understand whether we're talking about the same one and there's some change, or whether these are, you know, the dates are the same, the terms are the same, they seem to be approved in the same file, and yet they're large contracts, and how I guess I'm trying to understand how one would know.
Okay.
When they come before us, that there's basically an identical, parallel contract. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is the same contract. What, in essence, they did during that 3-month period is they sent us two adjustments to the contract. They first sent us an adjustment for $800,000 in increase. And then they sent us another adjustment for $42,500. So they added an additional dollar amount to that contract. So they sent two amendments through to us for those contracts.
Okay, so it is the same contract. And then
yep.
in the next item, we'll see there's like a $2 million. In the first quarter report, we'll see that there's like a $2 million adjustment to that contract. So are those... Are those coming before us?
I am not sure what the original agreement says regarding those and whether they have come back to your committee for those adjustments on an annual basis. In some cases, if the contract was originally set up, let's say, for a 5-year basis,
mm-hmm.
and you approve the dollar amount for the 5-year basis, I can go back and specifically look at these and find out if they're coming back to you or not. But if the original agreement was for 5 years and they provided you in the fiscal note all of the information for the 5 years, and if they're doing an amendment to add some additional dollar amounts to the contract, I'm going to have to look at the specific situation related to this. My assumption would be for the one that's in the first quarter, it would be for the new year. It's adding dollar amounts in for example, for 2013. As to these two amounts, as to the ones that are in the fourth quarter for the $800,000 and the $42,500, they would have made that probably at the beginning of the year, the adjustment for the new year, which probably would have been in the initial approval. But let me follow up, and I can find out specifically on those.
Okay. Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Yeah, in that subsequent first quarter report, there's a $2.5 million increase in the contract, and so, you know, over the course of two quarters, we see it growing substantially. So that it attracted my attention for that reason. Thank you.
I have a question.
My supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. The
notification of the DBE contracts, I see Y and N on a majority of them, but some of them are blank. So what does the blank indicate? I don't know if you explained that. You talked about that.
Oh, in some cases where it's where it is blank is that there may have been an original notification that there was no DBE. It was either already within the contract agreement. For example, there's one on page 7 of 9 of the fourth quarter for Johnson Controls. And that goes back to a resolution back from 2004 for the Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contract. This is, in essence, a lease, and for services related to that. And for that one, I believe, and I can follow up on that, but for some of these, the DBE requirement was already included in the initial contract or agreement and therefore was not a required item within here. But that's one of the reasons that we met with their office, is to go through the various issues, like when are we going to see, when you're seeing a yes or when you're seeing a no, or when are we going to put dashes for the items, you know, making sure that both of our offices agree as to what each item means. So we're going to have that better defined for the future. But in these cases here, this is what the department put on the report, and we have no way to kind of verify separately. That's why we've created with them to talk with them and make sure that they and us both agree as to what everything means. Because in essence, what we're putting on here is what the department indicated to us. Okay.
So the department indicated the blank.
Right.
Dash. Okay.
Yeah. And that's why we're going back to DBE office and asking them.
And if one wanted to see how a contract was broken down, for example, the planning council for $1.1 million for the mental health redesign, same request for the Foley and Lardner. Can I get the same thing for the?
Well, what we get provided is we get generally a copy of either the entire contract or we get pieces of the contract. We don't require the full contract or all of the items. And sometimes there are addendums to the contract or an exhibit to the contract which breaks down what the dollar amount is for. So we might have the breakdown for the item in our office. Mm-hmm. For certain, the original department would have the breakdown. You know, we could see what we have in our office, you know, so if there is an item that you have a specific question on, we can either look in our office if we have it or go back to the original department. Generally, they probably, if they came before you, they should have provided you in the fiscal note, you know, what the breakdown was for the items and, you know, the reasons for that amount. If the item's under $50,000, they probably didn't come to you. They probably didn't provide that to you. And it might be attached to our contract or not. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. This brings up a large question that we're talking about now, about contracts and how much, and the legislature is trying to do something on that, too. And I kind of asked this question before. It's a larger question. And we could spend, I mean, was there 30 pages or plus of contracts here, professional contracts at least? You know, this is 2012, and number four is in the first few months of 2013. And, you know, certainly it's... We can't go through all these contracts and say whether they're good or bad, but, you know, again, we're going to have less responsibility or less chances to talk to department heads. And my question before was, do you have the staff, or how involved are you really? Is it like HR? I mean, you know, we come, we get all these, you know, things in HR we'll see at the very end of our meeting today, and all they say is, well, the department has the money to pay these things. And unless we really dig, we don't find anything out. We can't be digging and micromanaging all the departments, certainly, but, you know, it says any professional contract, you have to receive it. That's both three and four, all the stuff you're giving us prior to any payment being made. So you say we get parts of contracts, we get contracts. So my only salvation thing here in saying that, you know, we're all being protected is, but first of all, how much digging can you really do if the department has the money? You know, you just kind of basically okay the contract. you know, what latitude do you have to say, well, you know, this really isn't a good contract, or you could, you know, you're overpaying on this from our, I mean, do you have specific people in specific departments? Do you have enough staff? I mean, how much time can you put into this, and how much can we expect you really to put into this? I mean, do you have veto power sometimes saying, well, we don't think this is a good contract? I mean, do you go to that kind of depth sometimes? I guess that's my basic question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, generally what we are doing when we receive these contracts into our office is we are making sure that these contracts comply with the county ordinances and the rules that are there. And most of those rules are just related to, you know, did Corp Council approve it? Did the Community Business Development Partners Office approve it? Did Risk Management approve it? Was it signed by the department prior to the work being performed? If it's over $50,000, was it reviewed by a standing committee and then approved by the county board? If it was a capital project, is it a capital project that currently exists, and was it approved that way? As to, you know, when the bills come in, you know, did it meet with all of the requirements? We will make sure at times where we will review and make sure that, for example, some of the dollar rates are there. Okay. You know, if bills come in and other adjustments come in, our accounts payable manager will go back and review some of those, or the individual will go through. But we're not going to go in and specifically look, did they meet the policy requirements? For example, they wanted to evaluate a park pond to see if it was draining correctly. We won't go through and do an evaluation of those types of things. What we're making sure of is that there are adequate funds in the department for that, that, you know, within the budgeted dollars that are there, they met all of the rules that were followed, and we will make those departments, if they didn't follow the rules, we won't pay the bills.
Yeah.
And so and they'll be required to come back to you and ask for payment.
Thank you.
Supervisor Jersey.
I appreciate that line of questioning, because we are, it's going to be become very timely about this whole issue of passive review. And I think Comptroller is stating he really doesn't make policy decisions. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I think you're trying to understand for our purposes what everybody's role is. And I know one of the provisions that's being looked at in legislation is to substantially increase the amount of the passive review issue. Do you have any comments about passive review?
No. I see my function as the comptroller is kind of enforcing the policies and decisions that have been made, the items that are either in ordinance or in resolutions, and making sure that those are complied to. An item can be, you know, something of a passive review. I mean, I think that applies more to, your committees, your standing committees, those types of things. But if you require that the comptroller is to make sure that there are adequate funds, then you put that into ordinances, or if that's in state statutes or wherever, that's the responsibility of my office to ensure those types of things. Is, you know, we're going to make sure that we comply with the rules that are there. And sometimes it'll be my interpretation as to what that exactly means, but I'll let you know when I come before you then what my interpretation was and how we reviewed these types of items. Giving you the information and letting you know the information so that you can question and come back to those types of things, that's kind of what you need to have, is that you have in any type of an audit and any type of audit services that you do, you have two types of things. You have preventive and you have detective controls. Preventive controls is you get to look at it ahead of time. Detective controls is you get to see it after maybe it's happened, and after the items have occurred, you get a chance to review it again. Now, the check might be out the door, but you can still question the item and go, what was that for? Why did you pay that money for that item? So the process, you need to have both processes there. Preventive, you are taking a look at it ahead of time. Detective, I'm giving you the information after the fact, and you can look at it at that point in time.
And, I mean, passive review also applies to the other elected officials within county government, perhaps the sheriff, for example. So if there's a contract let by the sheriff for under $50,000, basically no one weighs in on whether that was a good spending of taxpayer dollars, other than it falls on the sheriff to explain that. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement, yes.
So the sheriff can sue the citizens of Milwaukee County, hire a lawyer, and as long as it's not over $50,000, no one gets to question that.
At this point, as long as he's got the budgeted money to do it and he's followed all the rules for establishing that contract, yes.
That's my understanding. I think we need to be very careful about passive review, and that's something I think citizens don't always understand. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Anything further on this item? If not, it's up for information, so let's move to the next.